And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called The Christian Journey. First, I often say this, but this message is a classic. I try to do these on Wednesdays. That I thoroughly enjoyed both assembling and teaching. You may not realize this, but sometimes the process of crafting a message or of a teaching can be more valuable for the teacher than the act of sharing it. This is primarily due to insights gained from the Lord that aid us in drawing closer to Him. This message is a prime example of such a process in my very own life. Next, we discover there's a crucial element that occurs between our left and right ears. As always, we're commanded to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. However, we often focus solely on the heart, neglecting the other three. We will scrutinize one of the other three aspects with which we are supposed to love the Lord our God, as without it, our love is incomplete. Ooh. And finally, we'll uncover a key principle within our Christian faith that sets us apart from the rest of the world. Naturally, this principle is rooted in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ and the application of that redemption. But the critical question is, what happens after we're set apart? How do we progress? We know we're supposed to fellowship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but what kind of engagement can we participate in that will help make all of this a reality here and now? And that's what we're going to investigate.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Now remember, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. And we're asking you, what do you think? So you can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us right now on the show. What? 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you make that call to 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like waking up and feeling like you just got a great night's sleep. Yes.
Thank you, David. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday to you, my friend. So we need to be aware there are weather alerts taking place left and right, and
yes,
everybody needs to be safe. You don't need to listen to this radio show more than you need to be safe in the weather, so make sure to take care of that. If you need to be in a particular room or in some kind of protection place, then you should be. If you're able to listen to the show, that's great. Don't worry about dialing in. I've got plenty of hot air inside of me that can help me go unlimited, so fret not. Okay? Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Yes, and we do have replay for this on the podcast.
Platform. I mean, that is an important part about that. So, you know, I mean, we're not going to do sound effects for you like, you know, we're not doing like a weather sound effect.
I mean, we could.
We could, yeah. We're not going to do that. All right, here's a couple things I want you to be aware of. So why would you email us? Why would you text us? Or why would you call us? That's simple. If you've got a prayer request, let's join together and pray about it. How about that simple? Let's ask the Lord. There's no answer better in all of the universe than more of God. I don't care what the politicians say. I mean, just be honest. They are so backwards. The people in academia, so backwards. The people in Hollywood, so backwards. The media, so backwards. Don't forget, media stands for making everyone dumber in America. Here is the simplicity of it. Any situation and every situation, individually, collectively, as a nation and as a planet, can have a better answer and simply more of God in the situation. That would bring an end to all of the ridiculousness of sin. Oh, there's a brilliant idea. So we encourage you to pray, and for prayer requests, we'll pray and join you in that. For praise reports, those are times where you honor those that people that will be are blessed because you're honoring the Lord, and it blesses you, and it encourages those that are listening and honors the Lord. I mean, what's more important than honoring God? I mean, wait, let's just stop for a while. God does something awesome for you. It blesses you. You sharing it reinforces it, okay? Somebody else hears it, it blesses them. That's super cool. But you're honoring God when you share the things he's done in your life. Get that? All right. That's super important. So you can get a prayer request. You can do praise reports. We can do questions. Some people call up with really bad jokes like Samson. Some people have some things they just want to share. Totally open to that. And we also do Bible trivia on our end. I'm getting ready to do Bible trivia. Roger wants me to point out that for people who are like, well, what's the podcast? A podcast for us is just simply a replay of this show on our website. And those are – that's all it is. Okay? So a podcast is, for our purposes, a replay of the radio show. That just makes it as simple as can be. And you always do that on our website, so you never have to miss anything. Here's your trivia question, by the way. When they heard of the adversity that had come to Job, how many of his friends came to comfort him? When they heard the adversity that had come to Job, how many of his friends came to comfort him? If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. In the meantime, we'll do our DNA. Here we go. These are the building blocks of our Christian lives. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day, spend some time with the Lord. Why? Because it helps us. That's why. Because it's strengthens our faith, because it's what we need to do. It's because the example that Jesus set, it's because spending time with God will change your perspective and your circumstances. That's why. Draw closer to the Lord daily, D, and never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never, never, never be ashamed of what Jesus had to say. Jesus is actually, one of his titles is the Word of God. Never be ashamed of the Word of God, ever. Luke 9:26, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and my words, then I'll be ashamed of you when I come in glory with my Father. Like, ooh, bad. Don't do that. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And then A for DNA, always be ready.
To serve.
Always be ready to serve. It's funny because I was doing in my devotions today. I was in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 24. And two times in that short period, it says you got to be alert. You got to be ready. And there is just something about all of us being ready. What if this storm turns out to be bigger than we think? Are you ready? That's just all I'm going to say to you. Are you ready? You got to be ready. And you got to be ready to serve, to be a servant, to follow the Lord, to obey the Lord, and do that which the Lord sets before you. That's what you got to do. D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. A, always be ready to serve. Okay? All right. Trivia question, then we're going to go into prayer for Shell's wife as well as for Noah. But let's do the trivia question real quickly. There you go. When they heard of the adversity that had come to Job, how many of his friends came to comfort him? How many of Job's friends, as we read throughout the entire book of Job, how many of his friends came to comfort him? Who were the main players in that process? If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us very simply by calling 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. And then additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. There you go. All right, so we want to open this up real quickly with prayer. I want to pray for Shell's wife, Lisa, and as well as Noah. So we're going to go to prayer in that right now, if that's okay. Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. We thank you. We praise you. We honor you. We glorify your name. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. We just lift up Noah to you, who's a friend of mine and a friend to the show, who's trying to find direction, Lord, trying to nail down what he's supposed to do, his next steps. Not every door is the right door. And we just ask you to give him wisdom so he can make the best possible choices, that he can move forward and be about your business, that he would not be fearful of making a mistake, but confident of his partnership with you. And Lord, we just ask you to bless him in that process. And we pray for Shell's wife, Lisa, who's going into a birthday celebration weekend, which is awesome. And we just thank you for that. And we thank you for her. We ask you just to help her. She had to have some surgery done, to work done on her teeth right away. Kind of like not the best way to start at all. And so, Lord, don't let that detour for her opportunity to enjoy the grace and the gift of life you have given her. Help her to enjoy her life as you have granted the gift of life. And bless her and Shell and the family in that process, and let her have a really relaxing but encouraging time. And Lord, I just want to pray for the audience right now. I want to pray against the foreboding, the fear, the unsureness that seems to sweep into people's hearts and minds because we don't know everything that's taking place perfectly. But Lord, this is where we have to trust you. We have to believe in you. We have to have confidence in you, that you always have our best interests in mind and that you care about how we're doing. You care so much, Lord, you know the numbers of the hairs on our head. So help us. Help us to toss fear aside, to toss dread aside. Your servant David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Help us to willfully decide to walk in faith and not fear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay. All right. Once more on the triv, and then we'll go into the teach. Here we go. Your triv question. When they heard about the adversity that had come to Job, how many of his friends came to comfort him? That's the question. In the meantime, right now, I'm going to be talking to you about something that I consider to be very important, and this is coming out of Colossians chapter 1, verse 2, and I want you to hear it because this is the kind of message that changed and changes my life, and I believe it can have an impact on yours as well because it's all about the Lord, and that's the key. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 2 says this, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." It is great that in the beginning of this show, Fred brought up what Moses did, how he chose to recognize willfully chose to recognize that his eternity with God was substantially more important than his current pleasures of this earthly journey. In Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 2, the Apostle Paul is writing, saying to us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, set your heart on things above. Set your mind on things above. And we tend to have this way where we set ourselves on earthly things, and everything we consider and think of is just on this earth, which is contrary to the teaching that Jesus gave us on the Sermon on the Mount. He told us to lay up treasures in heaven. He told us to look up, to live up, to walk up, and not to think down, to feel down, and to live down. He told us to get our sights on that which is to come. So often we're going through stuff, and we get so caught up in the circumstance that we forget that there's eternity in the equation. So Paul says, hey, move your heart on things above. Move your mind on things above. The things that you feel and see and so on, move that towards the heavens. The things that you think about and consider in the mind time, move that towards the heavens. Because that's where we ought to live. In fact, another translation says, seek the things that are above. Set your mind on the things that are above. We need to get the focus right. It's not about earth, which is not going to be recycled and rebandaged and bandaged over and over again. It's going to be made new. Let's get our hearts and minds in the right places. Okay, on the trivia question, it was a pretty simple, straightforward question. Here's the question. When they heard of the adversity that had come to Job, how many of his friends came to comfort him? And the answer is the same amount of licks that it takes to get to the center of a lollipop. 3. 1, 2, and 3. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we'll take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience.
The David Spoon Experience.
I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just being honest, right? Because I'll pull from, I'm Jewish. I was trained well. And you pull from multiple directions. It's just one of those things. So I kind of needed to recognize that sometimes I'm obnoxious and I need to make up for it. And the whole point of me telling you this is, sometimes you will do things that doesn't necessarily mean you're wrong, but because you didn't have the right spirit going on when it happened, you need to make up for it. Now, by that, I mean this. So Noelle found out yesterday that she had to get up at 4:30 this morning because the president of, quote unquote, the company was coming in because they were doing a remodel, and her section was one of the sections that are being remodeled. So she had to be at work at 6 in order to be there. Okay? All right. So now I'm not in the doghouse or anything. I'm just, feeling like I could have done better. So you know what I did? And I'm telling you this for a reason. I got up at 5 in the morning, and I sat with her for about a half hour while she was getting ready, right? And I encouraged her because I knew she was really tired. And then she went to work, and I went back to bed for at least an hour and a half until the dog said, that's enough out of you. Get up. That was a whole separate thing. The reason that I bring it up is not because I did something brilliant. That's exactly not the case. In fact, the reason that I had to make it up is because I didn't do something brilliant. But it dawned on me that it is okay, or not okay, but it's probably right for you and I when we're in relationships and we do something that's a little far off, or maybe not as authentically Christian as we generally need to be, that we're allowed to make up for it. And so what I was trying to do was communicate with her, I love you. I'm kind of sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, I'm totally sorry because I'm up at 5 a.m. that I wasn't like nicer about the whole thing. And so whatever happened by getting up at 5 in the morning last night went bye-bye. And my point in making that sharing that with you is simply sometimes we can do things that is a way to say I'm with you without doing a whole bunch, and that will just make some of the dumber things less painful or less dumb. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. We are aware that there is tornado warnings throughout all of Dallas. Almost all the counties have that going on. You should be aware of that. There is a little bit larger percentage of hail opportunity, so make sure to be very careful, be safe, stay indoors, do what you're supposed to do. I mean, be smart about it is the nice way to say it. If you're able to listen to the show, great. If you have to miss any of it, don't worry about it. It is all on record and will be on the website. That's what we call a podcast, the show that's been recorded, and we put it on the website and give you a chance to listen to that anytime you want. In fact, every single show is on the website, just in case you didn't know that. All right, here's your next trivia question. Get ready for this one. What area did Jesus grow up in? What area? So when they said it's Jesus from, where was the from part? Okay, what was it? It's a little more than the neighborhood. Let's say more the city and the area and the region. What area did Jesus grow up in? That's the question. If you think you know, you're welcome to reach out to us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. So the question, pretty straightforward. What area did Jesus grow up in? So it's Jesus from, because some people would say for me, it's David from Detroit, kind of thing. Only Jesus wasn't from Detroit. That was kind of a joke. All right, we do have somebody that is ready to share. They're feeling pretty good about it. Let's have them sent through. Send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Stephen.
Hello, Stephen. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. I am enjoying an extra hour every day for getting stuff done. And it is immensely helping me.
Most people move away to get out of traffic. You move closer to get out of traffic.
Exactly. Isn't that bizarre? It's by bizarre all by itself. That's true. Now, are you out and about traveling, or are you at home, or where are you?
Oh, I'm out and about.
You doing well? Is it safe out there for you?
Yeah, there's no tornadoes that visible at this time, no hail, so we're okay.
You're doing all right. Make sure to watch for flying cows. Okay, anyway.
Okay. All right.
All right, here we go. What area, my good friend, what area did Jesus grow up in? Jesus of?
Well, nothing good can come from there, so it must be Nazarene.
That is correct, Amigo! Now, you just have to think about how fun it is, because think of the worst city in your personal mind, and you think, well, nothing comes out of that place. It's like, there it is. That's the place. That's where he came from. It's like, really? Oh, my. How does that happen? Which tells you, God brings glory out of garbage all the time, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Excellent job.
You have a blessed day.
All right, you too. Be safe, my brother.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That's just too funny. All right. Great job. Great call by Stephen. Let's get right back into the text. I want to make sure that we make sure we stay on top of this. We just talked about Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. And I want to make sure you understand. It says, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is. Where is Jesus? Above. Seated at the right hand of God. Where is Jesus? At the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Here it is. Where Christ is, that's where you want to find. You want to find where Jesus is. Set your mind on things above, right? So one of the things that's really important about this is putting in an understanding that we have our hearts and our minds that are supposed to be directed above. We do often talk about our hearts being connected to above, but we don't talk the same way about our minds. And why that's important is simply this. We're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and all our mind. Part of our mind is supposed to be loving and engaging with the Lord. Why that's important is simply breaks down to this. 2 Timothy 1:7 says what? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The word sound mind is sozphren. That's the Greek. You can write that down if you want to. That's okay. Sozphren. Soz is safe. Phren is thoughts. Safe thoughts. What does it mean, safe thoughts? Safe thoughts are thoughts that are directed to the kingdom of God, that are directed towards the Lord, that are found in the heavenlies. What's not safe thoughts? Things that you want to do to pump up your own sinful life, things that have nothing to do with righteousness, things that have nothing to do with love, grace, mercy, kindness, things that have to do with darkness is how you go the wrong direction in that. So what we want to have is Saz friends, safe thinking, safe thoughts that lead us, direct us. This is why when people are going through different things, you'll hear me say, spend time reading the Word of God, spend time worshiping, spend time focusing your heart, your mind, your energy, your strength and attention on the Lord. Because the Lord is the place that we need to place this stuff or put this stuff. And so what I really want people to catch out of this, the most important thing, is that you need to give, and we talked about this, I think, Monday or Friday. You need to, and I, certainly when Rosalind called, we had a chance to talk about it too. You need to have a little bit of that energy in your brain focusing on the Lord. And if that means listening to less radio and more worship, then do it. What about your show? It's fine, but it's not worship. What about politics? If you really want to get depressed, just keep listening to the news. I mean, they just want you to. They're making money off you. It's like that's what they want you to do. That. Hey, you know what? Here's an idea. Don't. Do a media fast. Spend some time just with you and the Lord. Spend some time just listening to the Word of God on tape or on an app program. There's hundreds of them. If you've got a cassette or a CD, yes, cassettes still exist, a CD or anything like that, just listen to the Word of God. Hear worship music. Do anything like that. Why? Because that's the kind of stuff we need to be feeding into our minds. And what we do is we allow a lot of rubbish, garbage. Now, I don't have a problem with people, you know, watching television shows that are, you know, a little bit goofy, as long as you can separate what's truly not right and what's right and not have that cause and effect on you. But the idea behind this is to put the effort to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And just so you can know, I just make sure we know this, God knows every single thought you have, good, bad, or indifferent. So with that in mind, love the Lord your God with your mind. How about that? We'll take a short break, and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here you go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away. That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
This is Ray Bentley.
Ray Bentley, the man, the myth, the legend, on the show.
I was going to say that about you.
It has been four years and six months and 29 days since you've been live on the David Spoon Experience.
Oh, man, finally, I'm sliding in under the tag home safe.
You are finally safe. Okay. And so I'll tell the entire audience real simple. After this interview, you can either blame Ray or you can bless Ray because it was his fault a year and a half ago on February 12th when he called me and said, you should be back on the radio.
You just point
to that guy. Okay. All right. First of all, Ray, I want to ask you a really important question to start everything off with. The time is yours. You determine how much time you've got. It's totally up to you. But I do want to just ask you this quick question. How you doing?
You know what? I am doing good. I'm doing great. I think these are exciting times. I feel like we're in an acceleration of things happening, of God moving, of kind of things that we thought about and imagined prophetically what it would look like. And it's like happening so much so fast with such acceleration. I'm like, I can't hardly keep up with it all. It's a great hour to look up and to encourage one another. You know, I do realize there's lots of challenges, and these are trying times, but out of the worst of times come the best of times.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where you just heard the fill with Ray, and I have nothing to do with these fills, where Ray said it's a great time to look up. And that's exactly what we just taught about in the last 15 minutes. Like, come on, you can't make this stuff up. It's incredible. So even though he's dancing on streets of gold, the dude is still helping me. I love that guy. All right, here we go. Let's get our next trivia question. A little tougher. Remember, a little tougher, okay? A little tougher on these ones. What was the name of the blind beggar at the gate of Jericho? Now, I am going to give you a hint. The first part of his name is a cartoon character that used to promote Butterfingers and is yellow in the cartoon. That's the first part of this name.
SpongeBob?
Huh? What is
SpongeBob?
No, not SpongeBob. And rode around on skateboard. Okay, leave it there. Just leave it there. See if you guys can figure it out. But what was the name of the blind beggar? This is the first part of his name. At the gate of Jericho. That's the question. I didn't say it'd be easy. Remember, they're harder. And then the first part of the answer is an iconic kid in a cartoon. It's this very, you know, had a lot of irreverent statements kind of thing. It's still funny. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. And then additionally, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Got to send you up to the website and make this known to you. On the website is an opportunity to get the book, The Faith That Pleases God. If you want to get the book and can't afford it, I'm sending off today to our very own Aunt Deb. She's going to have a group of books that we will be able to give away. It's probably about 15 of them. And all you got to do is reach out to us either by text or email after the show. Okay, not during the show. After the show, and then I'll get that address information to her, and we'll send you out a book. Okay, just that simple. So you don't have to feel weird about it. We just want people to have the book. So I pay for them and just want to be able to do it that way. So if you want the book, that's we'll check it out on the website, see if that's okie dokie. Also on the website, there's just a lot of encouraging articles, encouraging audio and video. And the whole idea is for it to be a blessing to you, and we certainly hope it is. And if the Lord puts it on your heart to give, great. And if not, don't worry about it. To keep it that simple, check it out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
Be sure and tell them Large Marge sent ya.
Hey, that's pretty good, huh?
That was pretty spot on.
All right, here you go. Jeanette got it. Excellent, Jeanette. What was the name of the blind beggar at the gate of Jericho? That's the trivia question. Your hint is not the best hint, but it's just going to have to work for now because I can't come up with anything any faster. And that is, the first part of this beggar's name is the same as a cartoon character, little younger than a teenager, who's yellow, who rides on a skateboard, and used to sell Butterfingers commercials. Don't eat my Butterfingers. Okay, from that one. All right, if you think you know, you can reach out to us. In the meantime, we're going to do history. So let's do history.
Let's go living in the past.
All right, today, technically, for those that want to know, is National Vanilla Pudding Day. Now, I just have zero problem with that. I don't have any problem with that whatsoever. How about you?
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that. I don't love vanilla pudding, but I don't dislike it. So
right.
I'm good with the day.
Yeah, okay. See, I'm with you on that one. See, it's not the best, but it's not the worst. Unless somebody makes it a special way, then that's kind of different altogether. Today is National Solitaire Day. I think they're talking about the card game. If not, then it's just solitaire and nobody knows about you anyway. Wait, that doesn't make any sense. All right. Also, on this day in 1891, Motion Pictures, Edison gave the first public demonstration of his motion picture camera, the kinetoscope. Took place in 1891 on this day. Also on this day, a lot of inventions. 1908, the Wright brothers patented their aircraft. So a lot going on May 22nd. I just want to point that out for you. And then also, this is sad on each one, technically. 1967, the first episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. On May 22nd. And then in 1992, the final episode of the Johnny Carson Show. On this day as well, May 22nd.
Wow, a lot happened this day.
That was a lot going on this day right there. Okay, here it is. And then I'm going to get into the teaching. What was the name of the blind beggar at the gate of Jericho? Jeff also coming in with a strong answer. If you think you know, you can reach out to us. 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email to David at hemustincrease.org. Oh, by the way, Jeff gave a reference point. Matthew 10:46. Very nice, Jeff. Very, very nice. That'll help some people try and track it down. We do have somebody calling in. We'll give them a chance to answer the name of the blind beggar at the gate of Jericho. Getting close to. We got somebody on the line. We'll have them respond if they are able to and see how that goes. Are we ready? Is that somebody who's going to take a call? Yep. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is John.
Hi, John. How are you?
Fantastic, because I get to listen to you for at least a few minutes today.
That's very kind of you. I'll send you $20 later. No, that's very kind of you. Thank you, sir. My friend. Now this was not the best hint. And by the way, Jeff is telling me the reference was Mark, not Matthew. The answer for this question is Mark 10:46, which that makes more sense. But here it is. I'll set the question up and give you the chance. What was the name of the blind beggar sitting at the gate of Jericho?
I think in some languages it might be Bartholomew or something like that, but it's Bartholomew.
Okay, we'll go with the Bart part, Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus, and so why? But and so Bartholomew is one of the disciples. But here's what I would tell you: it's a third name for a disciple. But here's the thing about Bart: I went with the Simpsons reference, so I was going Bart, the character who's a cartoon, who's yellow, who uses a skateboard. That's the first part of the name, Bart. That probably wasn't very theological, but I was trying to help people.
And it worked for me.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, it's like, let's see, dude, skateboard, Butterfingers, something about shorts. Yeah, it's that Bart guy, right?
No.
I just wrote that on a note. I'm doing a show prep, and I wrote D-U-H dot for me. That is hilarious. Nice job. Very, very nice. I'm with you on that one. Great job.
Love you, brother.
All right,
have
God
a blessed
bless.
One.
Take care. Bye-bye. We have fun. That's fun. You got to admit that's fun. All right, love that stuff. All right, here's something I want to get into. So, notice I was saying, hey, you really got to get your mind off like the earthly, got to be heavenly. And I know people are like, Dave, come on. Come on, Dave. Come on. Okay, cool. Let me just read this, and then you tell me what you think. This is Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 through 21. Join in following my example, brothers and sisters. Just as you have a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you even again with tears, many live as the enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. They mind, and their minds are set on earthly things. Ooh. Now, all of a sudden, getting your brain in the heavenlies becomes just a tad bit more important. And you're thinking, what do you mean? Because people who started off one place and then just kind of didn't last or didn't hang in there or whatever, one of their problems is their destiny is destruction. They live as enemies of the cross. Their God is their stomach, which means their appetite is everything. Glory is in their shame. They do shameful things, and that's what they glory in. And their mind is set on earthly things. Yikes. Wow. Just think about how serious that is. That's completely different. That's a completely serious situation. Because they're so focused on here and now and on earthly things, they can't see anything else. And here's the problem with that, and I'll just be straightforward about it. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18 says this, "Therefore we do not lose heart." Oh, good. Okay, we don't lose heart. "Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." Verse 17, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Wow. So in 2 Corinthians, so in Philippians 3, it's saying, look, they're the people that are going to be destroyed, these are the people that have their mindset on earthly things. That's serious. But then Paul says in 2 Corinthians, we don't lose heart. Here's how we don't lose heart. We recognize that what we're going through, light and momentary troubles, they're achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs the current problems. So in order to get that and to understand that, we fix our eyes not on what's seen, that's temporal, that's earthly, but on what is unseen. That's the heavenlies, that's eternal. You're just like going, wow, there's no way around that. And the answer is, you're right. There's no way around it. That's why the scripture says what in 2 Corinthians 5:7? We walk by faith and not by sight.
It's not by what you see. It's by what you believe. Like, wow, that's serious. All right, take a short break. Then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
There is this pursuit in people to find happiness, and we've just been revving up and going through the one person who had the capacity, who had the resources to do whatever he wanted to do in order to find happiness. We find out that as Solomon, who writes the book of Ecclesiastes, tells us, he tells us all these different things that he tries. What he's seeking to do is find what is something that drives men, what is something that drives women, what is something that drives children, people, humanity, to just keep going when everything seems vain and everything seems meaningless or everything seems frustrating. And so he goes through, because his resources are unlimited, if you'll keep that in mind, he goes through a whole litany of things. He goes through searching in through knowledge and wisdom, talks about that in Ecclesiastes 1, 12 through 14, finds out that's not the answer. He does it in partying and drinking wine. I lived in Temecula, it's wine country, part of wine country in California. Solomon had more wine than these people could ever dream of. He talks about that in Ecclesiastes 2, 1 through 3. He talks about building a house, personal accomplishments, doing a garden. He had artistic works involved. Everything you can imagine Solomon was doing. I mean, he was doing it all. He's creating gardens. He had amassed a ton of wealth. He had high levels of entertainment. He had male and female singers. The guy had more sex than any person could ever even imagine. And he had superiority and control. And he gets to Ecclesiastes 2. And when he gets to Ecclesiastes 2, 10 and 11, he says, "When I surveyed all that my hands had done and had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun." He could not reach the level of satisfaction that he was searching for. That was his conclusion. He poured resources. He did a lot of stuff. So he gives two hints, two declarations, I should say, not really hints, to help us understand what is the answer to pursuing happiness. Ready? Here it is. I'm telling you, this is the biblical answer. There's no other. Here it is. Ecclesiastes 2, 24 through 26a. "A person can do nothing better than to eat, drink, and find satisfaction in their toil. This too I see is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases God, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness." The answer, Solomon said, is God has to give it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 12 through 13. "I know there's nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This is a gift from God."
If Jesus.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Get ready for your next trivia question. I want you to be ready for it. Are you ready for it? Okay. Just making sure you're ready for it. You ready for it? Okay, here we go. Now, we just did this one the other day. So between that, we're doing half of one we've already done. So you guys should know this one. At the crucifixion, when the darkness came over the land, how long did the darkness last? We will give you a reference on this. Matthew 27, 45. Matthew 27, 45. That is your reference point. I think that's the correct one. At the crucifixion, the darkness came over the land. How long did the darkness last for? That's what we're looking for. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. And then additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So the question, how long did the darkness last when the darkness came over the land? When Jesus was being crucified, how long did it last for? Matthew 27:45. That is your reference point. In the meantime, we are going to do a couple of jokes. I don't know if they're funny. Do you think they'll be funny? What's your opinion?
You know what? I'll say they'll be funny.
Okay.
I'm going to give you some credit here.
Okay. Very nice of you to do that.
Hopefully you don't disappoint. No.
This could be a little disappointing. These are three on computers. There's
okay.
three jokes
okay.
on computers. Very fast. Ready? Why couldn't the girl type on her computer? Because she lost her keys. Okay. Then maybe not. Okay. All right. Hold on.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah. Not the best one. Why shouldn't you take a computer into rush hour traffic? Because it might crash. Not bad. This is for every one of us who are older than Jacob. What's the first sign that a computer is getting old? It has memory problems. There you go. Okay. All right, people.
One for three.
Okay. Now listen. Now I want to make sure I get this right because I gotta help Jeanette out on this one. Ready? Okay. I'm not looking for the total time on the cross. I'm looking for just the time it was dark. Just the dark time. How long did the darkness last? How long did the darkness last? We just talked about the other day. It wasn't an eclipse. Okay. It was not an eclipse. Okay. I'm just saying. How long did the darkness last on the crucifixion for Jesus? Okay. That's the question. Probably Mark 15 might be a better reference point now that I'm looking at it and thinking about it. All right, if you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email to david@hemusincrease.org. So what shall we say to this, all the stuff we're talking about? Look, we're supposed to set our minds and our hearts on things above. We're supposed to direct our thoughts and our minds that way. We're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Got it. What we got to be very careful of is not having our mind set on earthly things. That's a really bad thing to do. Then additionally, we talked about the fact that our troubles are really very light and momentary, achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is on what is unseen. Okay, got that. All right, got it. So what's the conclusion? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 through 16 is always a great place for a conclusion. This is what it says. And remember, we did start the entire show off talking about Hebrews 11 and who liked the people in Hebrews 11. All these people, verse 13, were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they're looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. All right, so listen. These people, all living by faith, died. They didn't receive the promise. They saw it at a distance. They admitted this. They are foreigners and strangers on earth. I'll make it super easy for you. Do you ever feel sometimes like when you're, you know, with the Lord and you're doing things and you hear all the stuff that's going on the planet, you're thinking, I don't feel like I belong here. Something is just disconnecting, right? That's because you're a foreigner and a stranger on earth. That should be the most beneficial moment that you experience because you're giving confirmation and affirmation that this isn't the home. It's not here. It says this. People who say such things show that they're not looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they'd have an opportunity to return. In other words, if they'd been thinking about being on the earth and being, you know, part of the earth, they'd have an opportunity to go back there. But they don't, and we don't, because we're looking towards the heavens. We're looking for something that is greater. We understand the resurrection means much more than, ooh, nice parlor trick. We understand the resurrection means everything that Jesus taught is true, and death is not the end, and this planet is not the end. This is not it. And because we're longing for a better country, a heavenly country, God is not ashamed to be called our God. Because he knows, listen to this, like Abraham, we get it. There's something else going on. There's something bigger taking place. So when Jesus said in Matthew 6, 19 through 21, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy, thieves break in. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When Jesus said, he's trying to tell us, change your focus. It's not about this planet. And I know. I see the bumper stickers all the time, just like everybody else. You know?
It's not about the destination. It's the journey.
Yeah? If you end up in hell, then guess what? It's about the destination. If you end up in heaven, then guess what? It's about the destination. So while they're cute bumper stickers, they're not accurate. And they're cute. They're just not accurate. Okay? Shouldn't put all ethics on a bumper sticker. Here's what I'm trying to say. We got to move our minds up. It's a great, what did Ray say in that, Phil? It's a great time to look up. That's it. It's a great time to fix our eyes on Jesus, who's at the right hand of the Father. That's what it's about. When we do that, we reduce the power of the frustration of living on earth. You want to destroy the power of frustration in your life? Insert eternity into your process. That'll do it right there. Okay, trivia question has to be answered. How many hours was it dark or Rooney? How many hours was it dark on the earth during the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? And your answer is, for basically the hour 6 to hour 9, so it'd be 3 hours. That's how long it was dark. Excellent job, everybody. Thank you for paying attention and listening. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. 22 and a half hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. Be safe.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.